life only, but for life with God in eternity. Today we meditate on the epistle in the gospel of the five wise and five foolish virgins. Virgins, as we draw together this theme of the end of the church year. It is summed up in the words of Paul's epistle to the church at Thessalonica. For God did not appoint you to wrath, but to obtain salvation through your Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you, that whether you wake or sleep, you live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are doing. In Jesus' name, every day of God. To be a virgin, to be a wise virgin, is to be on call 24/7. What happens when you doze off? What happens when you fall asleep? The answer is quite simply revealed to us in the gospel. You come prepared. You come with your flask of oil to replenish your lamp, so that when the bridegroom comes, you will be prepared. On this last Sunday, the church here, the theme is one of sudden end of history, when our Lord Jesus Christ comes without notice. Those who have been brought to faith in Christ and remain faithful to the end of ages will be invited inside to the marriage feast that has no end, the eternal banquet. But those who have been negligent of their spiritual condition will be turned away. Jesus proclaimed in the gospel parable of the 10 days this truth to his people, with a specific purpose of warning the foolish in the congregation and comforting the wise in his church. The words of Jesus in the gospel, "Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you," are sober and ought to cause each to reflect. His words are therefore, first of all, frightening and secondly, comforting. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. The Apostle Paul emphasized this reality toward the church at Thessalonica and to you. Listen again to those God-breathed words in the first part of the epistle for today, where he says, concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they cry, peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. You are not of the night nor of darkness, therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. All the virgins in the gospel were called to be on call, if you will, 24/7. It's a tough job, this, being a Christian. Some were prepared, others were not. This text certainly reminds us of the current TV spots for disaster preparedness, where you see the tornado swirling forward in the background, which dissipates when people are prepared. But the theme is that people should be prepared with supplies and a plan for any type of disaster that might come upon them. last few Sundays have prepared you for that time. This was developed by the early church and the liturgies of the synagogue to teach Jesus as Lord. The church here follows the cycles of nature as well as the life of Christ. It is a teaching tool to get your focus off of yourself and onto the one who really matters. And so in the church here, we have now come to what is sometimes called the Sunday of the fulfillment. All is fulfilled, and Christ will return. How are you at waiting for Christ's coming? You are called to be prepared 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You are to be like the bridesmaid with oil in their lamps, not relying on their preparedness or preparations, not relying on being better prepared than the foolish maidens. They were relying on the promise of the bridegroom and what he had done for them. But did not all of the bridesmaids speak? Perhaps a little history lesson would be useful here. In the days of our Lord Jesus, the groom and bride were married in the daytime. Then, that evening, the groom would come to his bride's tent at an unexpected hour to consummate the marriage. Waiting anxiously, perhaps with giggles and exciting laughter, were the bride's friends, with torches to welcome the approaching groom. Any bridesmaid that did not awaken at the sound of the cry that the bridegroom was coming, or any bridesmaid that was not prepared to welcome him with the light of the torch furnished with the oil, would be severely embarrassed by her disloyalty to her friend, the bride. This was much more than a breach of etiquette. Everyone in our Lord's day knew that ritual quite well. And our Lord takes this rite of the day and applies it to his own coming. The virgin symbolizes or represents that which we see and call the church, the bride of Christ. They are a virgin, pure, washed, and undefiled, waiting for her groom to consummate the marriage. And so, these virgins symbolize you and me. You too are pledged to one groom, and only one groom. The one who suffered, died, and rose again on the third day. And you wait for his coming now on the day of his choosing. It was Jesus, the bridegroom, who lived for God 24/7. It was Jesus who covers you with his righteousness, so that you can be his pure, his holy, his virgin bride. The scriptures use many metaphors to teach the faith. In the New Testament, the presence of the Holy Spirit is oftentimes represented by a dove or by tongues of fire, as we see in Acts chapter 2. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is emphasized by wind, or the breath of God, as well as by oil that was poured upon prophets, priests, and kings at their anointing and setting into office. When such men were installed into their office, it was poured upon the tops of their heads, symbolically drenching them with the equipping of God's Spirit to be about the work and ministry which God had called them to undertake. As undefiled virgins, you are pledged to one husband, not to the compelling gods around you. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of gods that you can see so much as the kind of gods that rob you of your virginity before God. It is your God who offers to you his way of life, who promises you his mercy, his forgiveness through his name. And yes, he also tells you that you will have a cross to bear, and there will be suffering in his name. He tells you that through his groomsmen, that your present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that shall be revealed in you. So how do you, his bride, await his coming? With some frenzied last This is how you are called to wait for your bridegroom. Here in the washing of regeneration, the oil of life first comes to you and fills you with faith towards Christ. As the church waits, she listens for his voice and his word. She feasts already on the bank that he has entrusted to her in this life. This meal is the vineyard, prepared by the groom and distributed by the best man, is rich and filled with life. It is prepared every Lord's day for you by your groom. It is done this way because you are waiting for his arrival. And as you wait, you partake of his meal, eating his very body and drinking his very blood under that bread and wine. Because you wait for the bridegroom to arrive, you are simple weekly to receive this meal. The sacrament of nourishment that strengthens and feeds you with the forgiveness of sin. Have you ever wondered what was the real difference between the foolish and wise bridesmaid? Both of them were in the church. Both of them have been baptized, if you will. The answer, of course, is that one had no oil. That is, one had no faith. Faith in the then as yet unfulfilled word and promise of God that kept these virgins wise. You are also invited to place your hope in this Christ and in his return. Such faith fills you even in the darkest hour of your life with expectant confidence of your eternal inheritance. Even in the midst of earthly death, yours or that of a loved one, you may stand your ground faithfully and firmly, like a soldier on guard who, in the midst of danger, knows that help and deliverance is not far away. You also know that your deliverance